trust the Lord will once again visit us and meet with us here. I know there's some folks here I already met from New Jersey and Virginia and Delaware, and I don't know where all else, but welcome to our service. It's our desire to have an atmosphere of worship where we can lift our hearts together and rejoice in the God of heaven, what He has done for us this past week. Now, we would have a lot of things to rejoice about if you'd let us to go back 15 years or 10 or 5 or even in the last year. And we think that's all good and well to tell that to our children and to our children's children, but that's not enough for us this morning. We want it to be last week. Just last week that we have an opportunity to come together and to rehearse about the things that happened in the past week and make joyful a praise unto our God. Shall we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Dear God, this morning we thank You for this service and the opportunity we have to pray before You. You are the great God of the universe. We love You. We worship You. We adore Your name. It's our desire to lift You up, dear God, and to let You be glorified right down to the doings of our lives, Lord. We pray, may You meet some soul's need. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who is not sure of their soul's salvation, who is not sure they've ever been born again and have been washed in the blood of Jesus. May this be their great day, the day of God Almighty, when they will meet Him and know Him and repent and confess their sins and come to Jesus Christ. That's what it's worth. It's worth it all, Lord, to gather in a way like this, that can happen in our midst. And I just pray, God, and for the rest that are Christians, let us lift up Thy name. Let us edify one another. Let us reprove one another if we have found in error or sin or iniquity, O God, and let us be shored up to live a holy, righteous, peaceable life in this present evil world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn our Bibles to Psalms chapter 46. For an opening meditation this morning, Psalms chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, and the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. As I was meandering around in a bookstore, local bookstore this past week, I noticed an unprecedented amount of books that are coming out on spiritual warfare. Some of these might be good, but most of them I sense something that has an alarming effect in my own discernment or my own life. It is the fact that it seems like we are being sold a bill of goods called fear. of life. They teach territorial spirits, territorial demons. There may be one over New Holland or Burton Hand or Intercourse, and the gist of them is primarily to unite together as a church to try to remove these out of their place and drive them away. And so, in essence, supposedly have peace and spiritual prosperity in our midst. See, Peter Wagner writes in one of his that unless this happens, unless there is a united effort, unless there is a coming together to unite our powers and our efforts to fight against these, the devil is going to have you for breakfast. There's much emphasis made to call upon angels. There would probably be prayer meetings where they would call on Gabriel or perhaps on Michael to come and fight against these and against the spiritual wickedness in high places as they interpret it to be. Now, I'm not here. And also, there is an emphasis to try to find out what their names are. There is a delving into the realms of darkness somewhat to try to figure out what their names are so that we can command them around by name in the name of Jesus. Now, it would be foolish for me, knowing the prince of the power of the air and how he works, to believe that there is never any such thing. But as I understand the scriptures this morning, I do not find that was the tactics of the apostles. I did not find that was the way that the book of Acts said how they moved around and that was their primary emphasis. And I feel rather that it's a bill of goods to bring us into grips of fear and turmoil and trembling. And that troubles me because I know that in history past, be it Old or New Testament, the power of the church went forth in a rest in Christ Jesus, a tranquility and a trust and a belief in God, as Psalms 46 by King David so clearly depicts to us. It seems rather like there's an attack or a fear strategy, a fear tactic to cause all the church to melt, cause them all to tremble, to cause them all to lose their focus and the emphasis that they should be having. The media does the same thing. When you read the papers, those who write it, the common news commentators, the authors of the papers, are trying to make everything that's bad the worst that it can be. When we have a snowstorm, it's the worst in the century. When we have a flood, the old men have never seen anything like it. And so on they go, trying to bring us, to bring about a fear tactic to scare us that something worse is happening than has ever happened before, and there's never been such a thing, and that's possible sometimes. But you can tell they do it on purpose, to cause us to fear and to tremble. Television, radio, movies and videos, all have bought into the same tactic, the same program. In fact, I believe that that the enemy has cast a flood against us of fear, a flood of fear. The new movie, Jurassic Park, where dinosaurs tear up children, has sold out to the tune of $250 million in the box office theaters of America in about 4 weeks' time, collected $250 million to show dinosaurs tearing up children or eating children. Fear tactics. Psychiatrists and psychologists are warning the people. Don't go and see them unless you're accompanied by an adult. And even then they're warning, even at that it may cause trouble and problems in their lives. They tell me that there will be a mad rush of dinosaurs in every form of toy, book, and everything, t-shirts, and everything is going to go mad with dinosaurs and such things, again, in light of this latest fear tactic of Satan. The Bible even says in Luke chapter 21 that men's hearts are going to fail because of fear. There's going to be such fearful sights and fearful things put upon the people, and even some of them, according to Revelation, will be done by God ultimately, that will cause men's hearts to fear and to fail because of fear. Even men of economic teaching and instruction in America said the same, even though there's some truth to it, but they're selling books and making millions on the economic earthquake and what's going to happen and how you can save yourselves from it, and trying once again to put this fear tactic in the hearts of the people. I've found out one thing. Fear sells. Fear sells. Fear sells books. Fear sells movies. Fear grips people's attention and makes them buy to find out what it is. I feel the world is in a bundle of nerves. Then on top of that yet, we have the fear of man. In the recent weeks, I've had some discussion with other church leaders, and sometimes our exchange is, we hear words like this: I don't like it the way it is. I don't like it the way it is in the church and the way we relate together as churches, but I don't know what to do about it. Men who are at the top, who are bishops, leaders, elders, are saying these words: I don't know what to do about it. And there's only one reason they don't know what to do about it, and that's because they have the fear of man in them. They fear what will happen to their reputation. They fear what the rest of the humanity will say about them. And it is totally encapsulated. Their lives are totally surrounded, encapsulated, and driven by a fear of man. What will the people think? What will happen to me? Will I maybe lose my ministry? And so on. And so for the sake of the fear of man, they water down what they know. They water down what they have found and seen and understood by the Scripture, driven by the fear of man. Well, getting back to some of our beginning thoughts here, as we look at Psalms chapter 46, I like the first word. The first word of this chapter says, God. I love it. It's not a system that's our refuge. It's not this church that is our refuge. It is God. It is not the brotherhood, even though that has some safety to it. But brotherhoods can go wrong. Churches can fail. Man can let us down. We must have God as our refuge and our strength in this present fear world, the fear tactics that come against us. One of the things that grieved me so much about the emphasis on it, on the territorial spirits and demons and devils and evil principalities and powers in high places, is this: for some reason, they unite their efforts and they unite their powers to pray against these, but have forgotten the real issues of the flesh, the world, and the devil, which are constantly at war in the human breast. And I must say, there's where our threat is. But this doesn't matter. And people disobey in all kinds of realms in these areas. The flesh doesn't matter. And they go wild after it. And yet they try to tackle the principalities over the local town. It is a diversion, I believe, from the truth. Because the truth would say, for the last 2,000 years, that the problem lies in the human heart. It's problem of our own flesh and blood. Problem of our own ways. Problem of the world and its influence and its tactics. And of course, the devil likewise, in whatever he can come up. Well, let's look at this beautiful verse. I think it's time King David speaks to us this morning in light of all this. I call this message the disease of fear. There's a cure for the disease of fear. Now, if you don't know God, then you have a right to be fearful. And I understand that things are pretty shaky. But if you know God, you shall not be moved. The Scripture says it so clearly here. God is our refuge, and He's our very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, because God is our refuge, because we know Him, because He lives in our hearts, we're not going to fear. We're not going to do what David says. I don't care if this mountain sticks its ugly head up and the whole thing just jumps up and goes over. And what does he say? Be removed. And the mountains, so the mountains, yes, be carried into the midst of the sea. Even though I see Mount Hood or some of the other great mountains in the west, even though I see one of them take off and go out and dump into the Pacific Ocean, I am not going to be afraid because God is my refuge. And that would be a pretty fearful sight, I think. Make a pretty big splash, wouldn't it? But he says, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to. Brethren, sisters, we need to get a hold of that. We need to get a hold of that and put ourselves under the Almighty's trust, total dependence, and not worry and fear our way through these, even though troubled times. Though the waters thereof roar, though you live in Davenport, Iowa. Brother called me last night, was telling me how they're feeding chickens. The brethren were down at in the area there, the flood area, feeding chickens by hand, walking through water, waist deep, trying to find chickens floundering around yet in the water, and walking on eggs and all this stuff, you know, and because there's no electric and the feed bins are underwater at the bottom. And truly, it's an awful sight. What a mess, we would say, and no end in sight yet. And they have to feed all these chickens by hand. But anyway, he says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. And we can walk in the midst of a situation like that and know that God is in charge. He's in charge. Somebody told me on the phone, we're about ready to build an ark out here. Last week, I think it was Thursday or Friday. But they don't have to build an ark. We know that. One of these days, it'll stop raining and the water will go down again. That's a promise of God. We know God. And when He says something, that's the way it's going to be. There'll never again be a flood like there was. We don't need an ark. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. That's why I had that song sung this morning, that we need to get our eyes on that river that flows from God on high and ministers peace and rest and tranquility and gives us the opportunity to trust in Him and to rely upon Him, knowing that nothing's going to happen that will not pass the inspection table of the Almighty. There's too much fear in the earth, too much fear tactics, trying to make everybody scared and run and be afraid and their hearts quiver and tremble. We need to get our eyes back on God, and who is our refuge and strength and a very present help in time of trouble. Though things go bad, and they do, though we have trouble and accidents, and we do, we need to learn that God is our refuge. He's our help, a very present, very close help in time of trouble, he would say here. But there's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And the secret of this matter is to tap into that river. That river flows. If you want peace in the midst of trouble, if you don't want to worry about the economic earthquake that's coming, if you want to just sail right through it without having a heart attack, then get a hold of a river that flows from the throne of God and drink from it day after day, night after night as you lay upon your pillow. You can do it. I can do it. We do not have to be driven by fear or scared by the present evil fear tactics that are in the earth and trying to undo us. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. Talking about the city of God, the holy place, tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And I like that word. I like to think of it, and on time. He says that right early, or soon enough, God will move in, and He will help us, and He will, that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms are moved. They uttered His voice, the earth melted. Yeah, the heathen, they don't know what to do. They're fretting and fussing and taking pills and having heart attacks. But the Bible says, He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Then He says in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made in the earth. Remember Pharaoh and his army. Israel didn't have to do anything but hold a stick out in the name of the Lord. And they just went into the water there, and the waters collapsed. They didn't have to do anything. You remember how the wheels came off their chariots? You remember that? You remember how everything went wrong and they were in there and the wheels were coming off and they were so confounded and confused and messed up and nothing went right? And right in the middle of that, the walls of water collapsed on them and they were all removed. You remember that? You remember the Syrian army? That was back in Jehoshaphat's day. Do you remember how that Syrian army was all slain? They come on them and they found a bunch of dead bodies? What was it? 185,000 of them, I'm not sure. But anyway, a great crowd, a great amount of them. Do you remember? Do you remember how God moved in the days of Elijah with the prophets of Baal? When they were out killing all the prophets, Ahab was. Yes, come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He has made on the earth. And we need to look at it in our own lives. Do you remember the barriers that are broken? Do you remember how sin, victory was given to us over sin? Do you see the desolations that God made in the earth? How He broke those bands in sunder and He cut the chains. How many in this room, you have to wonder, used to be bound by cigarettes or alcohol or drugs of some kind or something like that, and today they're gone. Come, behold the Lord and what He is able to do in the lives of those that trust in Him, that give their all to Him, that make God their refuge and very present help in time of trouble. David says, therefore we will not fear. And I recommend it to you. Set your foot down and say the same thing. Therefore, because of all these things that we know, we're not going to be afraid. We are not going to go that way. We're not going to be fearful. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. There's no problem with Him. Think of First World War, Second World War. Think back of the Civil War, the War of Independence, many wars. Things just all at once. It was done. It was enough. It was over. God is able to control these things. He can break the bow and cut the spear in sunder. He can make the guns that they don't fire. He can cause them to catch fire. He can burn the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And there's where I see that our confidence and our trust should lie. We should realize that the power and the ability to be able to walk through these days are just simply to be still and to know that God is in charge. It's a blessing to me many times when I hear the great turmoil. It looks like nature is out of kilter, maybe a bit by the imbalances, and it's a blessing to me. It's a rest to me to just say, God's in charge. God's in charge. And we need to do that. Even in our own lives, though a child dies, though we have trouble, though we have adversities and losses, to be able to sit down and rest and say, God's in charge.
God is in charge. I want to learn what I can learn, but God is in charge. Be still and know that I am God. Put your trust in Him. And He says that He's going to be exalted in the earth. The brethren in Kelowna had a street meeting yesterday in Iowa City. And they had a good audience. And I just wondered, you know, there was a warning out that by evening, perhaps a good portion or a section of the rich area there in Iowa City will be flooded. And Brother Steve had to move all his lawn furniture last night out of Des Moines, Iowa, because the river was backing up and they expected 4 feet of water in the site where he had his lawn furniture, and they said it'll float down the river, so he had to work through the night to get that back up on a hill somewhere, you know. But it makes people listen. God says, I'm going to be exalted in the earth. And He may have to do some things to get some people's attention. But ultimately, He says, I will be exalted in the earth. And we need to give Him the priority there, the right to do what He needs to do to get people's attention. Because they don't want to look at Him. They don't want to consider Him. They don't want to give glory to Him. They don't want to think of eternity. They don't want to think that the world's going to end. God, He can just make it rain or make it snow or cause the earth to shake or something else to happen like that, a tornado, a hurricane or whatever. All at once, men begin to pray and they begin to think about eternity and about their condition. But I just rejoice in the fact that in all this ungodliness, all this chaos, all this fear tactics, all this running to and fro, all this heart failing for fear of these things, and right in the midst of that, God says, now, I am going to be exalted in the earth. Before this whole scene is over, I'm going to get the glory. As He says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord. And He's going to have that one way or the other. And just give Him the right and trust Him. He'll take care of us. It's all right. It's all right. Just rest in Him. He'll make a way. He'll help us. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. And we want to drink of that river and drink through these times. And then we can say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to fear. Shall we turn yet to 777 and sing this song that was taken from this Psalm 46. 777. Thank you. bless the Lord. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. The last verse says, and though this world with demons filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. What's that word? Jesus. For this cause he was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of his word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.